I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Surrounding the throne on each of its sides were four living creatures, covered with eyes in front and behind. The first one looked like a lion. The second looked like a bull. The third had the face like a man's face, and the fourth looked like an eagle in flight. Each one of the four living creatures had six wings, and they were covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The four living creatures sing songs of glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. When they do, the 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They throw their crowns down in the front of the throne and say, "Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. You are created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life." Amen.
One of the books that I have used over the years for premarital counseling and help out talking to families and couples about marriage is a book called His Needs, Her Needs by a guy named William Harley. And it's a very old book, actually, but it's sold over 2 million. And I would show you a copy of my book, but I've given out so many of them that I don't have it anymore. So I need to get it again. But that's kind of the cover of it, just for you to look at. And what I've always liked about this book is that Harley has this kind of theory about relationships, particularly in, he's focusing on marriage relationships between a husband and wife, that men have certain needs, women have certain needs. All right? And most of the time, couples that are together have different needs. And so when there's a problem in a relationship, it's mainly because one of the persons in the relationship is not getting their needs met. And he has 10 basic needs, and we won't go through that because that's not our point today. But for example, one of the needs is intimate conversation. That, you know, usually one of the persons in the relationship really desires to have conversation with the other person. Okay? So let's say that the wife needs intimate conversation, okay? But the husband's conversation amounts to grunts, and it doesn't really get beyond that. So according to Harley here, he says that what happens is if that need is not met in the relationship, then a person will find a way to get that need met outside of that relationship. And kind of, you can't see, but his subtitle is How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage. So in essence, what happens is somebody will, you know, a person, a husband or a wife, will find somebody else to meet that need, whatever that may be. Okay? Now, this is a really long way of an introduction to get to our point today, that I believe that one of the needs that we have is to worship. Now, you might be thinking, I don't know if I need to worship, because many of you today chose to worship. We all laid in bed this morning, and I don't know if your alarm goes off on Sunday morning or not, but we all lay in bed and we wake up and we begin going through our list of what you need to do today. And worship's one of them. Like, okay, do I go to church today? No, but you know, I got to stack the wood. It's getting colder out. Do I go to church today? Oh, you know, I haven't slept in all week. Do I go to church today? Oh, I've got so much to do. I got family over. I've got this, you know. And you know, the list goes on and on. And so we say, all right, I'll go to church. And it becomes an option. And for most people, even you guys inside this building, worship has this idea that it's just one of those things that I will do if I have time to do it. It becomes an option. But I believe that worship has been and always has been with humanity a need. Now, going back to his and her need, if we don't have that need met in this way of worshiping God Almighty, we will find another way to worship something or someone else. There is something I believe about the human nature and the human person that wants to worship something or somebody else. It's ingrained in us in some way. I don't know exactly why it is, but we want to worship something or somebody else. We have been doing it throughout centuries. God has set up worship for his people forever, since the beginning of time. People, no matter what culture, no matter how primitive, no matter how foreign it is to Christianity and a theistic God, worship something. Some people even worship stuffed dogs with big noses. Okay? We want to worship something. There is this sense or this need within us to worship. And if we don't worship, then there's something missing, and we will find an alternative to worship. Even in the heavens, worship is a priority. Our scripture today from Revelation is this really bizarre scene of these four creatures who have eyes all around them, who circle around the earth and who go around the throne of God. And they say that phrase that we said, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." And they do that over and over again. And the elders who are in the sanctuary, they too are worshiping God. They too are coming before God and throwing the crowns before him. I just want to draw our attention a little bit further in this chapter we didn't read, or chapter 5. There's a real, because it continues on, when the scrolls open up for the Lamb, then there's this part in verse, let me start here. Verse 9, it says, "They," who is God's people, "we are worthy to take the scroll, for you are killed, and by your sacrifice and death brought to God people from every tribe, language, nation, and race. You have made them a kingdom, priests to serve your God. They shall rule the earth." And then John says this, "And again I looked, and I heard the angels, thousands and millions of them." What are they doing? They're worshiping God. They're saying, "The Lamb who is killed is worthy. Power, wealth, wisdom, and strength, honor, glory, and praise." But this is the point I want you to hear. "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, in the world below and in the sea, and all living beings in the universe," that includes us, "and they were singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory and might forever and ever.'" Everything is worshiping God. Now, just a little side note here. Those of you here today who believe that you're going to go to heaven someday, you'll want to memorize part of verse 13 there. You want to memorize, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory, and might forever and ever." Because that's what we're going to sing in heaven. And you don't want to be the guy up there going, "And to him ever, ever, and ever, and ever." You don't want to be mumbling the words. So you want to learn these words, because that's what we do. We're going to worship God. Because we have this need to worship God. It's not really an option for us as humans. We are going to worship God, or going to worship something and make that something into a God in our lives. Now, when we talk about why we have this need, I think, why God put this need in us, is what I'm going to say. I think in one sense it might be a little obvious, but I think it's really important for us to think about. When we worship God, what we are doing in this time and place primarily is we are acknowledging that we are not God. God is God. Now, for some of us, that might be like, well, duh. Yeah, I know I'm not God. And yet, really, how many of us think that we are the masters of our universe? That we control what we do or say, that we make the decisions, and that we have this kind of worship of ourselves and who we are. And we forget that God is God. And so God, I think, brought us together in this need to worship together, to focus not on yourselves, and not to focus on me. I kind of like the way this church is set up, because you're not necessarily looking at me, but you're looking through me through Jesus, okay? Because our focus is not a person. Our focus is God as we come here to worship. Because that's the problem, isn't it? All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we've got Adam and Eve, and they were tempted. And it wasn't the shiny apple on the tree that tempted Eve. It was the idea that she and Adam could be like God and know the difference between good and evil. They could be like God. That was the temptation. That was the original sin. That's what caused Adam and Eve to hide in the garden. They wanted to be God. And throughout our lives, we struggle with that, I believe, as well. We also want to be God. And as Jesus calls us to follow him, not ourselves and not our desires, but to follow his desires, we then are called to follow what God wants us to be and do. And worship, as a follower of Christ, means that we stop for a moment, at least for a moment within this hour, and realize we're not God. There is a greater being out there that we call God, who created us, who gave us salvation, who is with us. I love the Lord's Prayer. You know, I've preached through it before, but the last two lines actually, and this is not to pick on Allison anyway, because this is the way that she gets it, but it's actually a typo, I think. In the last sentence there, it says, it's a long sentence, but it says, forgive us our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And now, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Period. Now, for years, I always thought, okay, what have I been tempted by this week as I pray that prayer? You know, I've been tempted to do these unseemly things. I've been tempted to say these things when I shouldn't have said it. You know, we think of those individual sins. But if you look and understand the grammar here, you take away that period, put a comma, and make the four little F, deliver us from evil, which literally means the evil one. So, deliver us from evil, for, because of, and because that yours, God, is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Not mine. Our temptation is not in the little sins that we commit. Our temptation is from the evil one, from the serpent in the garden, from evil, is that our temptation is to be God. And the prayer reminds us, no, it's not me. I don't have the power, the glory, or the kingdom. And I don't have it forever. God does. So we have this need to worship God. But also, I think one of the other things about this time of worship Because one theologian says this, and I get what he says. He says the only thing that we are to do in worship is to praise God. That's it. And I get that. But there's also a lot more that goes on in worship. Bring up that next slide here. And I showed this last week, you know, our spiritual pyramid. Because I think, you know, one of the things about worship, not only are we called to focus on God and focus on that need to worship God, but within worship, that whole pyramid takes place. You know, hopefully in a worship, you're learning a little bit about Jesus. You're learning a little bit more about the Bible. You're praying. That's good. Hopefully in worship, you are in community. Because here's a little note. Technically, you cannot worship by yourself. You can praise God. You can sing praise songs in your car to your front of your steering wheel all you want. And that certainly is good to do that. But worship really happens, and throughout the Bible, happens in community. There wasn't just one angel in our scripture reading. There were millions. There wasn't just one creature. It was all the creatures. Worship really happens within community. You know, think about it, too. I always love this idea. Where today do you sing with other people? Right here. Singing praises to God. I sing a lot by myself in the car, but together, this is where it happens. So worship happens in community. Sharing our faith. One of the safest places that we can share our faith is right here. Talking about what God has done for us. We do that, I hope, you know, in the sharing time. We do that in fellowship time, I hope. That we do that over and over again, because that's where we are able to do that safely. And then sharing our justice, being concerned, being aware of, being made aware of the needs around us. Helping those that are helpless. You know, this is the place that we get to do that. And then living out that kingdom, living out what it means to be a Christian. This is the time. Maybe for 1 hour this week, and the rest of your week may be a struggle and may be filled with pain and may be filled with questions, but maybe at least in 1 hour, you're living within the realm and the love and the grace of God. So this time, this place, it's not an option. It's really a need. Now, Willard Harley has another concept that I think works very much for us here today in worship. Because he talks about in our relationship, there is a love bank. Okay? And so in that love bank, you know, a husband and wife builds up credit. You know, when you do something nice for your spouse, you get a little deposit. Okay? When you do something stupid, there's a withdrawal. Okay? And just like any bank account, you make too many withdrawals, insufficient funds. That's when your spouse blows up because you burnt the bacon. Like, what was that all about? Because the bank account is empty. So he talks about the fact that when we meet each other's needs, we build up this love bank so that when times are rough, we have credit. Well, a lot of people, I think, say about worship, it's like, oh, I don't need to go to church. You know, I'm fine. Well, maybe that's because in their worship bank, they've got some credits. They've built it up a little bit. But eventually it wears out to the point that you're not connected to God. You're not worshiping God, whether you go out for a walk in the woods or by yourself. And you begin to withdraw too much, and you don't have enough funds or credits in that account, and then you begin to worship other things or other people. And so for us as followers of Christ, this time, this experience, this place fulfills a powerful need as we follow Jesus Christ throughout this world. So I want you to think about this week. If there was a statement sent to you monthly on your worship account, how fluid would you be? Would you be in the red or would you be in the black? Think about that and think about how that can change. Let's pray. God, we thank you that this time is so powerful and can be so meaningful and can be a time for us to center on you and who you have called us to be as your people. We thank you, Lord, that this is a need that needs to be filled in our lives. We thank you that we are in the presence of the Creator of heaven and earth and know of his love and grace through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, that that worship account will help us through this week as we continue to be your people, as we continue to share our faith and live faithfully for you. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.